Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. It's down to the final two. Former President Donald Trump and his one-time U.N. Ambassador Nikki Haley battling it out in New Hampshire ahead of tomorrow's primary. ABC's Melissa Adan is in Manchester.
So this race has changed dramatically within the last 24 hours, and so has former President Donald Trump's tone toward Ron DeSantis. Now, Trump is expected back here in New Hampshire tonight. And on top of Ron DeSantis' endorsement, he was also endorsed by Senator Tim Scott. That's actually Tim Scott from South Carolina, who Nikki Haley appointed to that role. Meantime, Nikki Haley also picking up an endorsement by former presidential candidate and former Arkansas Governor Asa Hutchinson.
Donald Trump could testify today in the defamation trial over his 2019 comments, branding columnist E. Jean Carroll a liar who faked a sexual attack back in the mid-90s. Vice President Kamala Harris in Wisconsin today, marking the 51st anniversary of the Roe v. Wade decision. President Biden convening his reproductive health care task force. This is ABC News. Another cancer diagnosis for a member of the British royal family.
The Duchess of York, Sarah Ferguson, has been diagnosed with skin cancer just 6 months after being treated for breast cancer. The 64-year-old was diagnosed with malignant melanoma, the most serious type of skin cancer. The Duchess had a number of moles removed and tested while undergoing breast reconstruction surgery last year. One of the moles came back as malignant.
ABC's Lama Hassan at the foreign desk. A spokesperson says the Duchess is distressed, but in good spirits. And history on the college basketball court with Stanford's women's basketball team beating Oregon State.
An even bigger one for Tara Vanderveer in the history of the game with win 1203. Tara Vanderveer surpasses legendary coach Mike Krzyzewski to become the all-time winningest in NCAA basketball.
That's a call on Pac-12 Network. Vanderveer already the Women's Basketball Hall of Fame. Sherry Preston, ABC News.
To the big-hearted, the bold, the teachers, the growers, the builders, the change makers. We need you. We are the Peace Corps. In more than 60 countries, we go the distance to make a difference. We're volunteers, partners, communities, bringing our experience, joy, and passion to building a better world together. Are you looking for more? Then we are looking for you. Join us at peacecorps.gov.
The Todd Almaus Show.
The immigration challenge in this country, as Jorge Ramos, the great author, likes to say, you can build as many and high walls and deep walls as you possibly want. But until you start addressing the problem within countries, people will keep coming. For all of our faults, people still look at America as that shining city on a hill and want to come here, and I believe that makes us stronger.
The Todd Almaus Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. This is your local civic media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Ruggiehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Republican state lawmakers want to ban abortion in Wisconsin after 14 weeks. Right now, it's 20 weeks. There are exceptions. The bill has a public hearing Monday, the same day Vice President Kamala Harris is in Wisconsin to promote reproductive rights. The measure needs to be signed by the governor and approved by voters statewide, but Evers is likely to veto the bill. The state health department is recommending that all young children be tested for lead in their blood. Previously, only children deemed at risk were recommended to be tested, like those living in homes built before 1978. They say that children as young as 1 or 2 years old should be tested, and as old as 5 if they haven't yet been tested. Exposure to lead can lead to slowed growth and development. I'm Nate Ruggiehout, Civic Media News.
It's the Bucks and the Pistons again. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Milwaukee Bucks take on the Detroit Pistons again at the Little Caesars Arena. That's the same place where the hockey team, the Red Wings, play. Part of a doubleheader in Detroit. Milwaukee won the first game Saturday night, 145-131. The Bucks return home Wednesday for a rematch against the Cavaliers. Cleveland beat the Bucks at their place by 40 points, 135-95. Giannis sat that one out with a bruised right shoulder. NFL, the Packers cleaning out their lockers after losing to the 49ers Saturday night, 24-21. Jordan Love asked about the things he learned in his his first year as the starting quarterback.
There's so many things. I think just understanding how small the margin for error is in this league, especially in critical games like this, when you win in advance, you lose, you go home, just how important every play is and just how locked in you got to be, and then, you know, how critical situations are at the end of the game to go win it, just how dialed in you got to be, take advantage of those games and win.
That's Packers quarterback Jordan Love. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
It is going to be cloudy today, but it's also going to be warmer. Our high 28 this afternoon, the wind southwest at 5 to 15. Tonight, cloudy 22. Tomorrow, a little light snow or a few flurries in the morning. Otherwise, it's going to be cloudy all day with a high of 32. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now at 19.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. Your hometown station for news, talk, and sports. This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6:06 on this Monday, January 22nd, 2024. Last full week of January as we already move well into the 2024 calendar. Nice to have you along. It's a beautiful day to have you here up north, live from Lake Wissota. Wherever you're listening, across the Civic Media Radio Network or on the Civic Media app or through social media, where we run a video feed of this fine radio show on some Facebook and Twitter and YouTube pages. And you might not even be with us live. You might be listening later as a podcast. And we thank you for subscribing and taking us along on your day. Well, I got a question for you. Are you looking at the Packers as a glass half full situation? Because you should. I mean, it was a tough loss. And the reasons why the team lost in San Francisco deal with some of the youthfulness of that team. But if this is rebuilding after Aaron Rodgers, it sure isn't the kind of rebuilding that involves a long, dark tunnel of losing. And also, nobody can ever take away that whooping of the Cowboys. So let's go ahead and button up this season. Let's take comfort as well in knowing that the pitchers and catchers for the Milwaukee Brewers report to camp in just 24 days. So we got that going for us. So we get a big fist pump from Greg Bach here. So what do you think of it all? If you'd like to comment on the game, on the Packers season, if you're ready just to look ahead to spring training, whatever's on your mind today, the door is always there. Ring the bell at 844-967-2789. Again, 844-967-2789 by phone or by text or by the Civic Media app, which if you haven't downloaded yet, you really ought to do, because then you can take shows along with you wherever you go. You can email us, radio@upnorthnewswi.com, and you can put a comment on one of the Facebook feeds for Up North News or Civic Media, and we will be sure to see it that way as well. Well, as far as what else we have coming up this morning, predominantly we're going to be talking about a sad anniversary and a new threat. We're going to be rather heavy this morning on the topic of women and healthcare and the politicians who want government to have even more control over women, their bodies, and control over their doctors as well. It would be enough that this is the 51st anniversary of Roe v. Wade, the now repealed Supreme Court ruling that recognized women's right to privacy and their decision-making about abortion. But to twist the political knife further, Wisconsin Republicans today at the state capitol will try to jam through a bill that theoretically would lead to a new abortion ban in our state of 14 weeks. Now, for that to actually get on the ballot for April, it would have to get past Governor Evers, who would veto such a thing. But just the fact that they're doing a rush job on a 14-week abortion ban bill instead of any of the other things that the legislature has been neglecting this year, tells you what you need to know about the extremism of these current lawmakers. In our second hour, we'll be joined on this topic by our friends from Motherhood for Good. In so many instances, abortions are part of a necessary, even life-saving health care for women who may already be moms, who are tragically losing a wanted pregnancy, but they want to preserve their options for some future decision on when to get pregnant again. And so we're going to talk about how moms can be part of the ongoing pushback against conservatives who have reduced women to second-class status when it comes to their health. And we'll be joined by Dr. Kristen Lyerly as well. We'll get a forecast later from Civic Media meteorologist Brittany Merlot. We'll get three things you need to know to start the week by Civic Media news director Terry Bell. And I suppose we will mention as well that Florida Governor Ron DeSantis is gone, is no longer a candidate for president. And we will celebrate, as you will, the ineptitude that came with the Ron DeSantis for president bandwagon. 6 a.m. temperatures across Wisconsin are 20, in some cases nearly 30 degrees warmer than they were on Friday. Up here on Lake Wissota, it's 12 degrees right now. Hayward is at 20, whereas on Friday, they're at 10 below. So they've had a 30-degree swing since Friday. Park Falls is at 14, Wausau 18. Green Bay is reporting 22 degrees. La Crosse is at 24. Wisconsin Rapids, 19. Oshkosh, 21 degrees. Madison, 23. And it is 21 degrees in Waukesha, where Greg Bach joins us from the studios of WAUK, the Shaw. And now I know where you are.
You know where
I know where you are. You're not just that guy in the box on my screen. I've been in the room where it happens. The room where it happens. The room where it happens. Hamilton reference.
Yeah, so I know. I'm aware.
Cool place there. Thank you again for your hospitality on Friday. That was fun.
Of course, it was great having you here. It was a little weird to have you in the room, like in the room next to me, and like not looking at the camera, but looking directly across. Like, oh, there he is. There's Pat Doodle-Doo.
It is. And then like you see how when many people come to radio stations to be a live guest or whatever, their first thought is always, it's so tiny in here.
Yeah, right.
It's tiny. And don't they ever pick up anything? Like, no, I've worked in 100 radio stations. No, there's the cleaning lady didn't come this week either. We do our best.
All right. It's not like gross here.
It's not gross. I'm saying it's just people look at it and they go only at. Again, the upper levels like network TV, you go and you see like a palatial studio and they've got people to do all these things. But in smaller markets, in the middle markets, it's like, hey, it's just us. Yep. Just come on in, you know.
Community radio, baby. It's where it's at.
It absolutely is. And it was a lot of fun. And I love that it's right there in downtown Waukesha. It's very accessible. You know, it's not some mysterious thing in a little shack out of town. It's right there, part of the community, right by the coffee shops, the flower shops, everything else. Oh, yeah. So it's a nice setup there. So I really, really enjoyed doing that. Got to do that more. Got to get you and Jane out on the road too at some point.
That would
for
be
your show.
Very, very fun.
Yeah. I am sure you had a very busy weekend yourself, and that was even without the Packer playoff game.
Oh yeah.
Cause you had the Laughing Tap and, or you doing stuff with family, and so.
Yep, it was a busy weekend.
Beautiful.
Before I knew it was done, and I'm like, well, going to bed now. Good night, everybody. Gave Maybelle some kisses, and that was it. That was a weekend.
I totally understand. So you might not have been among the fans in Green Bay who actually greeted the team when their plane arrived at 4 a.m. on Saturday from San Francisco to thank them for a good season and for a good effort. And so, I mean, those are real fans. If you're going to go to the airport at 4 a.m.
Absolutely. You know? And may I say just two brief things about the Packers season? First,
yes.
I'm sorry. Thank you for your permission. I appreciate that. It's your show. One, congratulations, Packers. I got to say, you know, I'm not a huge football fan, but watching this season go from where it started to where it ended on Saturday, I mean, there's nothing but wonderful respect and excitement for what the future can hold, because that was wonderful to watch. And two, all you Packer fans who around like September, early October, like, man, the Packers are done. I'm not even watching this year. Blah, blah, blah. And they were all watching on their phones and their TVs and getting all excited and they get heartbroken. I'm like, no, you get to come back next season and try again. Because you weren't the fans at 4 a.m. greeting them from San Francisco. You were the one going, I got better things to do.
And then you didn't. So you exactly. came back. Yes.
Exactly.
Yeah. We do not do the bandwagon thing. That's what Vikings no. fans do. Whoa. They just ride the bandwagon. Oh, we're good. Oh, yeah. You know, nope. Packer fans are around all year. And we tempered expectations all year long. And that was very healthy. It was tough to watch at the end. But again, I wasn't like, you know, going to get an ulcer about it because you understand this team is going to make some mistakes like that. But you make those mistakes because you got this deep into the playoffs, you know.
Yeah.
And it only bodes well for the future if they learn and grow from it.
Exactly. And that's what I think they're going to do. The only thing I'm looking mm-hmm. out is like, how's Joe Barry feeling right now?
That is a very good question.
Yeah.
You know, but again, sometimes just because we think somebody's about to get fired, you know, Mike McCarthy, not fired by nope. the Dallas Cowboys. He's going to be around. Joe Barry might be around. Sometimes they say to people, okay, let's learn some lessons and yeah. try again. So I wouldn't be surprised because who was the last one? Dom Capers. Mm-hmm. I mean, we heard about firing him for 3-4 years before it finally happened.
They've been talking about firing him since before it was born. They were like, I don't know who Dom Capers is, but we should fire him. This is 1979.
Yes. Yeah, you have to have somebody, it's been buried. And as much as I want to pick on the kicker for missing the one field goal, and I did actually put up a post of Mason Crosby sipping tea someplace. Back to the matter is Mason Crosby had also missed some very key yeah. kicks at times. It's part of the game.
It was still a great season, and you know what? I'm glad that Aaron Rodgers got to watch it from the comfort of his own couch.
Oh, how nice was that? We didn't get any of that drama. Yeah. It was so nice. I did appreciate that yeah. part of it. So we're in good shape. And now, like I said, 3 weeks from Thursday, spring training opens up, baby. I am gonna be ready for that.
So, yeah.
Well, while we're on the topic, it's 6:17. Let's continue to explore some sports here. The Milwaukee Bucks have a 2-game road trip in Detroit. They played and won on Saturday afternoon in Detroit. They stuck around, and they're playing there again tonight. And so you can catch Milwaukee Bucks basketball on Oshkosh Air Support, on News from the Center in Richland Center, on Lake Air in Amory, on WRJN in Racine, 98Q Country in Park Falls. Was that all of them, Greg? It was on Friday. Were you trying to send me a note that locally grown radio in Wisconsin Rapids either has the Bucks or the Badgers?
I have the note in front of me. Not myself, no, but
okay.
I should have a list of all that stuff here just painted on the wall. Just like, because I feel like all of our sports, I'm so happy that Civic Media has access to, you know, the great Wisconsin sports, but it is sort of like, all right, the Bucks, you're on these stations. The Brewers, you are on these stations. Well, and I'm like,
especially when they sometimes end up playing at the same time,
yeah,
you know, the same
yeah,
night.
Yeah.
So then different stations, you know, handle the rights differently. So all in all, I mean, look, you can't go wrong listening to a Civic yeah. Media radio station. You're going to hear some great stuff, maybe including the Bucks tonight, maybe the Badger men's basketball team, which thumped Indiana on Friday night. So they remain alone atop the Big Ten. And they are their next game is tomorrow night on the road against the Minnesota Gophers, which you can hear on locally grown radio in Wisconsin Rapids, News from the Center in Richland Center, Lake Air in Amory, WRJN in Racine. Marquette got their first road victory in the Big East on Saturday by beating St. John's at Madison Square Garden there at DePaul on Wednesday night. And the 22nd-ranked Marquette women's basketball team hosts 9th-ranked UConn tomorrow. We'll talk a little bit more. We'll get to Badger hockey. There's some news to report there. And then we'll unpack the news about Ron DeSantis leaving the race and marking the anniversary of Roe v. Wade. But wherever you're listening across Wisconsin on this Monday morning, when you're here, you're up north. We'll be right back.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
This message is for Shauna, my mom, who just finished her high school diploma. I wanted to say I'm so proud of you for finishing school. You taught me it's never too late to achieve your dreams. I hope to make you as proud as you have made me.
When you graduate, they graduate. Finish your high school diploma for you and for them. Visit finishyourdiploma.org to find free and supportive adult education centers near you. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
I was proud to be a soldier.
I told the truth and got kicked out.
And so I thought to myself, I'm taking this rule down.
If you're an LGBTQ plus veteran, your memories are important too. Share your story with the Library of Congress Veterans History Project, where firsthand accounts from U.S. military veterans are preserved and made accessible for researchers and future generations. Visit loc.gov/vets to submit your stories, photographs, and documents today.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
And you should have been.
It is Steve Perry's birthday today, so you're going to hear some Steve Perry and some Journey throughout the course of the morning as Steve Perry turns 75 years old today. Don't forget to sign up for our newsletter if you're not already. What you doing? Get over to upnorthnewswi.com, click newsletter in the banner on top of our homepage and follow the stories that we cover about features and people and stories and headlines around Wisconsin. Christina Laurie puts that together for us, and we will talk to Christina tomorrow morning around 6:30 to see what she's been working on for the newsletter most recently. Let's see. I was ran out of time before I got to Badger hockey. Well, the men's hockey team was idle this weekend, fourth ranked in the country. The Badger women are ranked second in the country. They are now riding a 7-game winning streak after sweeping Minnesota State in Mankato over the weekend. They will next be at UMD in Duluth this coming Friday and Saturday. Well, happy trails, adios, vaya con Dios, Ron DeSantis, the Florida governor who never really got traction. I mean, it is the parallels to Scott Walker are stunning, where you have a very conservative right-wing governor in a potential key swing state getting all kinds of love, mostly getting all kinds of love for punching down, you know, normally on marginalized groups and wanting to cut budgets and talking about waste and taking people's rights away. That's right in both of their playbooks. And so DeSantis, like Scott Walker, launched this campaign. And how would you, Greg, how would you sum up the Ron DeSantis campaign? If you were just to pick a sound, maybe, could you do it? There it is. Yeah. I'm so sorry. The memes have been outstanding because, you know, part of what Ron DeSantis was doing was taking on Disney, you know, which was weird. What Florida governor takes on Disney? But apparently Disney was too woke. Well, the memes yesterday, you've all seen the dark Brandon ones, which is, you know, Biden with sunglasses.
Yeah.
Mickey Mouse in sunglasses next to Biden. Dark Mickey.
Oh, God.
And another, others were channeling Game of Thrones, Lady Tyrell, with Mickey going, "Tell him, I want Ron to know it was me."
And then walking and back even, to Florida, shame.
Shame. He was even fact-checked on his way out in his exit speech. He quoted Winston Churchill, except that he didn't. The thing, the quote he attributed to Winston Churchill was quickly fact-checked by people who were like, Winston Churchill never said that. So,
and he would have thought you were a jerk. Here's the thing is, if I'm ever going to run for president, which I'm not, you're welcome, America. If I make it as far as just even the Iowa caucuses and I come in third, I'm going to say to my speech team, do not put into my speech anything that says we see bright things ahead and we're going to move forward. If I know in 48 hours I'm dropping out, just be like, we'll see what happens. We'll go to New Hampshire. Yeah. We'll have a pancake. I don't know.
We might not. Don't know.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
Now he gets to go back to Florida, where he's caused plenty of mayhem in his effort to gin up interest in being president. I mean, we will never know how many Floridians died in droves because of the way that he politicized COVID. He had black voters arrested and disenfranchised as he ran roughshod over the will of the voters in his state who had passed a referendum on voting rights. He just flat out ignored it. Children were political pawns in his effort to have state-sponsored book bans, causing you know, again, untold angst to children and to educators and to parents. He'd have undocumented immigrants, you know, abused and trafficked and sent around the country and exposed to God knows what. And again, much like Scott Walker, all of that punching down, it eventually reveals who you are. Because it's one thing to be tough, but then people also want to know you as a person. And if you have the charisma of a ham sandwich, you know, there's no dressing that up, you know, putting Miracle Whip on instead of mayo. That's just not going to be enough zip. And it wasn't for Ron DeSantis. So he's done. He was supposed to be the alternative to Donald Trump. So what did he do when he dropped out? He endorsed Donald Trump. Rick Scott dropped out of the race from South Carolina, the senator there. What has he done? Did he endorse Nikki Haley, the South Carolina governor who made him a U.S. senator by appointing him to a vacant seat? No, he endorsed Donald Trump. You've got the New Hampshire governor just ahead of the primary, who I believe was a Nikki Haley or DeSantis supporter. I forget what, but he now says, well, if Trump's the nominee, he'll support Trump. So wherever that faction was of Republicans with a spine, again, seems to be very, very limited in terms of Republicans actually taking back their country from the dark and inept direction that Trump is taking it in. And I do mean inept. If you heard over the weekend, the way that he, you know, confused Nikki Haley for Nancy Pelosi, he continues to think that he ran against Barack Obama in 2016 rather than Hillary Clinton, and some of the other, shall we say, misstatements from over the weekend. It may take some of the spotlight off of President Biden because of his age, and probably because, you know, President Biden is actually making sense when he's talking and things like that. But again, if you're looking for this to be now just Nikki Haley really taking it to Donald Trump, I wouldn't get your hopes up for it. I mean, she did take some mild shots at him for, again, confusing her with Nancy Pelosi, but she's not running against Trump. She continues to be the what if or else. What if Trump actually has to drop out of the race, ends up in prison, whatever the case may be. She wants to be there. That's the what if, or the or else. Or else Trump becomes the nominee, and if he did happen to win, she's now positioned to be, you know, a running mate or a cabinet secretary or something like that. So tomorrow in New Hampshire, there is the possibility of a surprise. The possibility. But again, that just doesn't happen often enough. The polling seems to indicate that, you know, Republican voters continue to coalesce around Donald Trump. Independents, not so much. Independents in New Hampshire can vote in this Republican primary, the same as in Wisconsin, where we don't make you, you know, declare a party when you register to vote. That's fair because, you know, all voters who want a say in something should get a say in something. So in New Hampshire, independent voters will be voting in the primary. Donald Trump's trying to make the case that, well, because these independents are more liable to vote for Nikki Haley, that their votes don't count. You know, that they are rhinos and socialists or whatever. No, they're voters. They're voters, just like the voters for you. And if you were that popular, if you were that good, you would be attracting independent voters. And if you're not attracting independent voters tomorrow in New Hampshire, that ought to sound some alarm bells. It probably won't because, again, you're just running a base campaign. And then when you don't win, you're going to claim that there was cheating. Fine, that's your move. But tomorrow we may get a chance to see what the independent voters in New Hampshire think. And then comes the long wait till the South Carolina primary when things will again heat up. But for now, we come back to more some of the issues behind the race, including the issue of abortion rights. And when we come back, we'll be joined by Dr. Kristen Lierley and later our friends from Motherhood for Good to talk about a newly proposed 14-week abortion ban in the state of Wisconsin. Again, that's all coming up in just a bit here on Up North News Radio, live across the Civic Media Radio Network on this Monday morning. Back after this.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North 910 AM WBZH.
Folks, I tell you this much, the Cripes Cast is just the butter on my cheese.
When it came time, like, oh, I'm going to pursue comedy. At the time, it was like, well, it was New York into Los Angeles. I'm like, I knew more people in New York. I knew you'd get funnier in New York, and there's more stage time. I'm like, I'm going to LA. If my dreams are going to come crashing down, I'd rather have them come crashing down on the beach.
Cripes Cast every Saturday and Sunday at noon across Civic Media and on the Civic Media app.
So far, markets in 2024 painted in a very negative light. I'm Pam Yonke, starting you off before the opening bell on a Monday morning. Quick look at what's happening in agribusiness news. And right now, it doesn't look like prices are going to improve anytime soon. John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend, says any farm, regardless of what you're raising or how big you are, needs to make sure you're focused in on risk management.
You know, maybe we're getting to a capitulation point, at least in the corn price, where maybe things can find some stability, but the numbers are still just pointing to a slippery slope. So right now for producers, you know, you got to kind of get control of your unpriced bushels, whether it's through put strategies or some type of strategy here. Because right now, with the break of 460, that was a big number for me. We lost that last week. You know, we're looking at possibly challenging those lower fours now on the historical side in terms of these charts, and the money just continues to push the ag sector to the downside.
John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend. And as we start off on a Monday morning, corn, beans, wheat, all trading lower. Numbers are next.
How does the Dairy Checkoff measure and report its return on investment to its farmers?
Yeah, well, you know, there's a lot of different ways. You know, the Texas A&M does an annual study, and I think the last one was for every dollar that is spent and invested for a farmer money, that's like a $4.78 return. But really, there's so many different ways to look at that. We, you know, dairy per capita consumption has increased by 80 pounds per person, or about 2.2 pounds per year. Our dairy consumption has grown 6% in the last 5 years alone. On one of the measurables that we have is we invest in PR, which is where we provide story ideas to editors and newsrooms around the country. And then if they pick those stories up, they'll tell them for free. We earned over $70 million in publicity in PR last year across major news networks, local news networks, farm networks, everywhere. It's pretty cool that we were able to spend $1 million and get $70 million worth of media investment return.
Chad Vincent, CEO of Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin, along with us. If you have questions, head on over to wisconsindairy.org and don't hesitate to reach out to them.
Dairy markets on Friday in Chicago saw the barrel cheese gain 2¾ cents to 146¾. 40-pound block cheese was down 2½ at 144½. Double A butter on Friday closed 2 cents lower, 254½ per pound. This morning, February milk's unchanged, $15.79 on the Class 3 contract. March milk down a penny at $16.08. Currently, March corn's unchanged. December new crop unchanged, $4.75½. March soybeans are down a penny. November new crop down a penny and a half at $11.89¾. July wheat currently trading 3 cents lower at $6.06¾. So just a quick snapshot on where the numbers stand as we get started on a Monday morning. Remember, sign up for our daily e-newsletter and you won't miss a thing. Go to MidwestFarmReport.com, submit your email, and you're all set. I'm Farm Director Pam Yonke.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. The fastest hour in radio, serving truth, justice, and equality with every slice. Outside the Pizza Box with Pizza Box Mike. Friday nights at 7 on The Buzz of the North.
It is going to be cloudy today, but it's also going to be warmer. Our high 28 this afternoon. The wind southwest at 5 to 15. Tonight, cloudy, 22. Tomorrow, a little light snow or a few flurries in the morning. Otherwise, it's going to be cloudy all day with a high of 32. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now at 19.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
Hayward's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Hey, just now you were hearing Pam Yonke, and a reminder, you can hear the full Midwest Farm Report with Pam every weekday morning at 5 a.m. on Civic Media radio stations in Hayward, Oshkosh, Amory, and Richland Center. If you're not in that area, just get the Civic Media app. Click on one of those stations, and you'll be able to hear Pam that way, along with five different updates throughout the course of the day, like the one you hear now, weekday mornings at 6:30, and we'll do another one coming up at 7:30 here on Up North News Radio. Dr. Kristen Lyerly is here with us now, along with Greg Bach over in Waukesha. And, well, I see the green and gold has been put away for the year, but I'm sure you were. Is it a jersey that you wear on game days?
I have a full selection of Packer gear, as do many of us who live in Green Bay, because Fridays it's like high school. Friday, you wear your Packer stuff to work.
It's pep rally day. Yes, right.
Yes. So you can't just have one thing. You need more than one thing.
Did you make any new friends where you were watching the game up on the Iron Range?
Well, as a matter of fact, I did. I sat next to a fellow wearing a Vikings hat, and we had a lovely conversation. And then I looked across the bar, and there was another person in a Packer jersey. So, of course, we had to have a conversation. They were from the UP, just like Packer fans. You know, we're all over the place.
All over the world.
All over the world.
Yes,
where's the furthest place you've gone and bumped into a Packer fan?
Oh, Australia, in Sydney. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Shortly after we got there, I was on a holiday vacations trip with TV 13, and what they do is they run NFL games, but they edit them down, so it's just the plays. Like, you can do a 3-hour game in like an hour.
Oh.
And yeah, I know. And so we found this bar, and there were plenty of Packer fans in there because we wanted to find a place that was showing the highlights of that day's game. And that was pretty awesome. But I've also found Packer bars in South Texas, in Manhattan, in Phoenix. It's one of our favorite things to do when we travel is to find the Packer bar. And there almost always is somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a website, actually, you can look it up.
Yep.
My friend went to Colorado and to Denver, and them and their buddies and a bunch of Packer fans were at a bar, and they partied so hard there was a sign on the door the next day that said, "We're sorry, we're going to close today. The Packer fans drank all of our alcohol."
Not a surprise.
No.
Not a surprise.
We have a problem.
Yes, we do.
We went on a vacation to Hawaii, and we drove into Kona, and we were exhausted from a whole day of travel. And what's the first thing we see when we get into town? A Packer flag flying. Because the person who owns the fish restaurant is from Seymour.
Oh. See? We are everywhere. It's great.
We are.
Well, so again, it's a little bittersweet, but it was a heck of a ride. And it was just nice to know that this wasn't one of those rebuilding teams where it's going to be like, you know, 10 losses every season and all that. We're in good shape. We'll be ready for next year.
I feel hopeful and inspired. Yes. You know, like all of
but
this.
But you always
was
do.
Bonus time.
You always do.
Yeah, that's true. That's kind of her default, you know.
I have criticisms. You know, our kicker, probably a super nice guy.
You just gave him a compliment.
Yeah,
you just put him in the friend zone real quick there. Like, oh, you know, you're a nice guy, but no.
Yeah, but his stats are not good.
No, they weren't in college either. I'm still amazed that, you know, he got drafted. But, you know, there's hope out there. We hope. Maybe somebody else can get the job.
Hoping for hope.
Yeah. No, we've got hope. It's good. We'll continue to build on it from there.
It's going to
be a busy day in Wisconsin today with Vice President Kamala Harris coming in to the Waukesha area to mark the 51st anniversary of the Roe v. Wade decision, the now repealed Supreme Court protection for abortion rights. It'll be her fifth visit to Wisconsin since becoming vice president. She's going to highlight the harm caused by extreme abortion bans. She's going to share stories of those who have been impacted in Wisconsin and across the country. I noticed a headline in Politico. The headline says, "Will this be another abortion election?" To which I respond, yes, they all will. They all will until those protections are put back in, Kristen. But obviously, this is going to be a noteworthy day for the vice president's visit, for the anniversary, and for this 14-week abortion ban bill that Republicans are going to try to jam through today.
Yeah, 14 weeks. Mm-hmm. What's so special about that? And if you looked at the co-sponsors on the bill, which of course I did, it's very interesting to see who signed on to this bill and who is very not present. We have a strong contingency of legislators here in Wisconsin who want abortion for no reason, not even rape or incest. They truly believe that if someone is supposed to die related to the pregnancy, that that's God's will. Like, these are the people who are making decisions for us here in Wisconsin right now. And abortion is exposing all of this extreme ideology. And that's going to be really helpful for us as we are choosing our future leaders in November.
I feel like we should maybe put together a list then of just those co-sponsors, if it's that small and that extreme. And, you know, again, just let people know that these are the most extreme of an already extreme caucus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, there's no question. And it just keeps coming. And it's been happening for years. This is really just the tip of the iceberg. When you look back over the last decade and longer, there have been little attacks against reproductive rights, whether it's taking away birth control or adding additional barriers so that people can't get access to the care that they need. So now they're all just out in the open. And it's very easy to see. We are all out on what really is a battlefield right now. And that's why Kamala Harris is coming to Wisconsin. Wisconsin is ground zero for the abortion fight and for the election in November.
So the talk will be about this 14-week proposed ban. Kristen, as an OBGYN, what's the medical significance of 14 weeks? Why was that picked?
I'm so glad you asked that question, Pat, because there is no medical significance, especially with this ban in particular, because if you read the text, it's based on post-fertilization age, which is not a medical term, and we don't exactly know with most pregnancies when fertilization occurs. So that introduces ambiguity into what 14 weeks even means. So if you think you're 14 weeks, are you 14 weeks? I don't know, because I have no idea when fertilization happened.
That's how you really know there's not medical experts involved in this talk of post-fertilization, because again, myself being married to an OBGYN, there have been times, I'm not going to say one or two, there have been times where a woman will hear a date and go, no, I really need to know when I got pregnant. I really need to know, like, the time of day. And that's not how it works.
That's not how it works.
I need to know the post-fertilization. Well, let me look here. That's not a thing, ma'am.
No. Well, and we have other laws in Wisconsin that are based on post-fertilization age. I mean, you know, when I say that our legislators for years have been picking away at reproductive rights, they've been using this shaky, non-scientific information to write laws in Wisconsin. And when you are using this is like, this is not right, and it is not serving us. So we can do much, much better if we listen to doctors and scientists, and frankly, common sense. This is just plain common sense.
Well, I don't mean to take something that's already icky and make it dark, but if they continue down this path of we need to know, you know, the fertilization time, it is quite literally government on their behalf wanting to come into your bedroom or wherever and feeling like if they can back time that much that you may have been with somebody you're not supposed to be with. And, you know, at what point do they try to criminalize, say, you know, adultery along with everything else? You know, these are folks that have talked about getting rid of legal access to contraception. So why wouldn't you go the next step down toward some kind of a Handmaid's Tale future?
Greg?
Yeah. I mean, they after Dobbs came down, what did Justice Thomas say? He goes, well, this allows us to review all sorts of things. Like, interracial marriage or
he did not say interracial marriage because no, that's the one an interracial marriage.
Yes, that's the one he didn't mention. Else. Yes, oh, that's all right. The other things.
That's right, Jenny Thomas. How could I forget her?
Yeah,
how could I forget her?
There are a number of other things that are underpinned by the same thing that made Roe legal. And one was contraception. One was interracial marriage, but he specifically left that out of his analysis.
How convenient.
Yeah.
Now,
but contraception is definitely in danger. And, you know, we've seen in Wisconsin, we have been trying to pass a bill that would allow pharmacists to prescribe contraception. We can't even get that passed. This is FDA approved, commonly used, very safe birth control that is passed in many other states. We can't even get that done because we don't believe here in Wisconsin, our leaders don't believe that we have a right to contraception.
But by the time this is all done, Republicans are looking to basically, through the U.S., the conservatives on the Supreme Court, throw out the FDA's ability to test and approve things as safe. They're going after every federal agency's ability to do these things independently of partisan politicians.
And that is so dangerous. And it is so much more wide-spanning than just abortion. When we talk about what's happening with mifepristone in the Supreme Court, if they strike down our ability to get mifepristone, to prescribe mifepristone for our patients, they are essentially saying, we, the Supreme Court, know more than the FDA, the body that governs your food and your drugs and determines how safe those things are based on, again, science and evidence and experience. The Supreme Court knows more than all of that. This is a very dangerous precedent, not just for mifepristone or birth control pills, but for everything, all food and drugs, anything that might be controversial.
And environmental law. This came down, a big reason for this is they're trying to get rid of the EPA's ability to, you know, have a cleaner environment. And they keep framing it as, you know, we're tearing down the regulatory state or something like that. Yeah, that's another way of saying protections. They're trying to tear down the protections that we have as humans, as consumers, as employees, and the environment. On this 14-week bill that's coming up, I'm going to tell you about three people and their reaction, and one of these things is not like the others. From Democratic Representative Robin Vining, a last-minute hearing Monday, in all caps, proposing a 14-week ban. We don't normally have Monday hearings, so why, you might ask? They're taking another swing at Wisconsin women on the anniversary of Roe v. Wade because their playbook is thin. From Representative Lisa Subek, a Madison Democrat. Republicans will stop at nothing in their quest to limit abortion access. Now they want to debate the precise moment at which you lose your reproductive freedom. Let's be clear, there's never a right moment for politicians to make your reproductive health care decisions for you. And then third, the Senate's Republican leader, Devin LeMahieu, said last week it would be difficult to get his caucus to coalesce around any abortion bill that Evers would veto. In other words, even though Republicans in the Assembly are trying to jam this thing through committee today, Republicans in the Senate are not on the same page and going, what are you doing? We don't want to take this up.
And the governor is not on the same page either. He would veto this if it were to pass. So this is clearly happening on the anniversary of Roe. An unusual day to bring this forward. The timing is very suspicious. This is just to get your attention. This is just to remind you that they're out there because they've got nothing else to talk about. They're not solving any problems. They're just trying to stir up trouble wherever they can. There are plenty of problems that we have to solve around here. I'm sure you would all agree. We can't afford childcare. Our wages are too low. Public education is in crisis in Wisconsin. We have plenty of work to do, and they're busy fooling around at the Capitol today.
And related to, you know, motherhood and pregnancy, as we said the other day, they could be working on expanding Medicaid access so that women could get postpartum coverage through Badger Care up to a year postpartum and not 60 days the way it is now. If you missed it last week, Wisconsin is one of only four states that does not have that expanded Medicaid coverage for postpartum women. That is the thing they should be hearing today and fixing today, Kristen.
It's crazy that women at 2 months lose their insurance coverage. We know most women who die related to pregnancy die in the postpartum period. And here in Wisconsin, we take away their insurance so they can't get the care that they need. And women die because of it. They could fix this problem. This is so easy to fix, but they won't.
But they won't. Coming up next, we're going to have today's history lesson. We're going to have some musical memories. But first, a reminder, download that Civic Media app. Get it free at your favorite app store or Google Play. You can search for any local station and tune in there or use the call and text buttons to interact with the show. We would love to hear from you. It's a Monday morning, and we are live from Chippewa Falls, Up North News Radio, across the Civic Media Radio Network. Be right back.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
I'm Dr. Jasmine Zapata, Chief Medical Officer for Community Health at the Wisconsin Department of Health Services. Every year in the U.S., about 21,000 lung cancer deaths are caused by radon, an odorless, tasteless, and colorless gas. One in 10 Wisconsin homes has high levels of radon. Does yours? Call 1-888-LOW-RADON or visit lowradon.org to learn more. Test. Fix. Save a life.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
Governor Evers lays out his priorities for 2024 when he delivers his State of the State address. I'm News Director Terry Bell. Join Civic Media's Todd Albaugh and me as we bring you the governor's speech live, right here, Tuesday night at 7, followed by the Republican response. Todd and I will help you understand what it means for you, your family, and your community. Join us for the governor's State of the State address, Tuesday night at 7, here on your local Civic Media radio station and the Civic Media app.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Darling, you sent me, I know you sent me, darling, you sent me, honest you do, honest you.
It's the anniversary of the birth of Sam Cooke, passed away back in 1964, one of his many classic hits. On this day in history, first of all, let you know we're going to return to the issue of the 51st anniversary of Roe v. Wade, Vice President Kamala Harris's visit to Milwaukee, the Milwaukee area, and much more in our second hour with our friends Emily and Kate from Motherhood for Good. On this day in 1963, the Drifters recorded a song that George Benson would later make popular in the 70s. Here's their version of On Broadway.
They say the neon lights are bright on Broadway.
It just doesn't really have a Broadway kind of feel to it, you know? It's a little too groovy.
Yes. Yep. I really do like the George Benson. What are you laughing at over there?
It's just groovy.
It's just groovy.
It's just groovy, you hip cats. I just don't get that Broadway vibe.
Do you?
No, not at all.
which is why it was ripe for a remake. On this day in 1901, Queen Victoria died after a record-breaking reign of 63 years, 7 months. A record that would be broken by her great-granddaughter, Elizabeth, who reigned for 70 years and 7 months.
Good job.
As we mentioned. Yeah, good job, you. You stayed on the job for 70 years. Yeesh. Happy birthday again to Steve Perry. He turns 75 today.
Will my lonely heart play the part?
Seriously, he's 75?
Yes.
Yeah. That's crazy. He could be the president.
Where did we lose Greg?
When you decided to make this an almost completely Journey episode, okay?
He does that on purpose.
We're marking Greg down as not a Journey fan.
I banned them from my wedding.
You banned a Journey from your wedding?
Yep, I banned, not the band. I mean, I have no problem with the gentlemen themselves, but okay. I just didn't want their music playing. Because I don't like them, and my friends would have requested them and then made it about that, then, you know, being my day. So I was like, no Journey.
Boy, you're going to love the next few bumper tunes I got coming up here in the show.
I already pulled them, and trust me, I'll be making fun of them.
Can I request Separate Ways, Worlds Apart right now?
Only if you can recreate the video.
I was gonna say that the video is one of the first videos I remember seeing in college, and we used to mock that all the time because they kind of they're like an air band in the video.
I met the drummer of Journey, and I asked him like, "What made you let the director do that? Like, you guys are rock stars, and he made you look like that." He goes, "We did a lot of drugs in those days."
Yeah, there's a lot you can blame at that point.
Yeah.
TV food guy, is it Fieri? Is it Fieri?
Fieri.
Does he know? He's 56 years old
Mayor
today.
Mayor of Flavortown.
The mayor of Flavortown. Yes, yes. Let's see. Anniversary of the birth of the late Michael Hutchins from INXS, born this day in 1960.
Greg does like Michael Hutchins.
I do.
Yes, he does. Who, passed away far too soon back in 1997.
There's some serious lip syncing going on right now.
I know.
On Facebook.
Yeah, not Journey, no, but INXS. That's where the line is. The Boeing 747 first entered commercial service on this day in 1970. Pan Am made its maiden voyage with the 747 from New York's JFK to London's Heathrow. And finally, the number one song this day in 1977 was by Stevie Wonder.
Oh, yeah. This album.
This is not Will Smith doing the theme to Wild Wild West.
No, and it is funky.
And groovy?
And groovy.
Okay.
Let's go, Monday. Yeah. Uh-huh.
All right, so here's a question for you. Could you ditch your smartphone for a month?
No.
I was going to say, Greg, answer that a little too quickly.
You
really could?
I mean, I would be in trouble because I would not be able to get to a work emails, but yes.
There is a yogurt company called Siggy's Dairy, which is offering to pay people $10,000 to do a digital detox. You would put your smartphone in a lock box, as Al Gore used to say. You'd get this very simple flip phone and couldn't do any of your apps or anything else for a month. And if you could do that, you'd get $10,000.
Point of
and
order. Do I have access
3 months
to
worth of Siggy's yogurt. Do you have access to what?
My laptop.
Oh, yeah. It would just be your smartphone.
Oh,
you have to go
easily.
Without your smartphone.
Easily.
Yep.
Easily.
And yet, well, then you and many others could sign up on their website and see if they pick your name and see if you can actually go for a month. And I thought, well, why would they put this up? What's that got to do with a yogurt company, especially a yogurt company I've never heard of? And then, of course, the answer presented itself. Now I've heard of it. So some marketing person said, yeah, you could spend, $100,000 on a real TV ad campaign, or you put up $10,000 and you drop this into, the news story column of all these newsrooms inboxes, and they're all over it. And a lot of people are going to be talking about that this week, and they're going to be giving old Siggy's yogurt a big shout out for their digital detox challenge.
Siggy's is actually a really decent yogurt brand. It's like a nice natural, like
it says Icelandic style, which to me that it's like, is there whale blubber in it or what does that mean?
It's just Icelandic devoid of style. It's just devoid of humor.
Unlike Greg.
That's right, Doc. That's right.
There are all the different kinds of yogurt, though. There's Australian style and Greek style and Icelandic style.
What do you think of Greek style?
I'm not a Greek fan. I like a full fat.
She's not a Greek yogurt fan.
Yes, before we get the, yep, oh, no, Greek yogurt. I'm not a Greek fan.
I don't like the Greeks.
I love the Greek, especially the Giannis Greek.
Yes, that's right.
When the Greeks are freaks, I'm all here for it.
All right, so we're going to break down styles of yogurt and what we like and don't like while y'all catch some news at the top of the hour here. And when we come back, our friends from Motherhood for Good will come along a little bit later on. Selena Heller off again this week. We'll hopefully get to touch base with her as early as next week again, find out what she's working on for us over at Up North News. You can find that work from all of us on the team over at upnorthnewswi.com, a separate entity from Civic Media. But again, great friends and our great appreciation for letting us visit with you here for 2 hours every weekday morning. Back with more coming up in our next hour, wherever you're listening across Wisconsin on this Monday morning. When you're here, you're up north across the Civic Media Radio Network.
Rice Lake's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us, and click on the Careers tab.
This is the Buzz of the North, WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app. ABC.